The Absolute is pure magic. This is Dr. Harrell Bagley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The Absolute is pure magic. What makes the Absolute pure magic? Well, if we think of Absolute, we are thinking in terms and phrases where there is no relative. And if there is no relative, then there is no emotion. There is no variable. There is pure principle that functions, acts, and works at all times in its perfect divine pattern. Absolute is pure principle working at all times in its absolute, fantastic pattern. Now, the Absolute is pure magic. We are so used to having opinions, emotions, feelings, attitudes, so used to having intellectualism and thinking about something and coming to conclusions and so forth. In the Absolute, there are no conclusions, there are no thinking about coming to. All is. Now, that doesn't sound like it's too great an exciting adventure, does it? Because that which all is, that which is, and it cannot be changed, and there's no attitude about it, there's no relative about it, there's no thinking about it, there's merely being it. Now, what would be an area in which we could think of the Absolute? Think of Absolute. I like to take the word the away from Absolute because the God or God. You see, the God means a variable God, and God means the only God. And Absolute is the only Absolute, and the Absolute is the variable Absolute. Now, the tendency is for us to capitalize Absolute when we're talking about it in its absolute form. And, of course, this is limiting us, because if we capitalize God, we are meaning a particular divinity, a particular deity, and we mean, when we speak of God, the universal absolute all God, which is lowercase. So, what area of absolute could we begin to think of? Well, we think of the I am. Now, we say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, to live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body means that we have an ideal spirit, mind, and body in which to live. It means that there is nothing in that ideal spirit, mind, and body which can be improved, changed, added to, taken away from, or in any way disturbed. It is an absolute. There comes that wonderful word again. It is an absolute. It is that which exists and always exists and will never change from existing in whatever it is. Now, my ideal spirit, mind, and body are the archetypal spirit, mind, and body of absolute. Oh, we can have spirit, mind, and body in absolute? No. We can have the concept of spirit, mind, and body in absolute, and that concept is an ideal concept, or it is a relative concept. It is a concept which has variables about it, or it's a concept which is always a concept, stable, consistent, and one-pointed in all the things that it is. Now, this sounds like it's pretty heavy stuff, and from one point of view, it is heavy stuff, because it is something that we have not really allowed ourselves to think in that relationship. We're always thinking in relationships. We're always thinking in emotions. We're always thinking in how can we understand this more completely. Now, if I were to say to you, tell me in just a few words what God is, or the same would be applying to absolute, but tell me in just a few words, what would you define God as? And you might go into all sorts of platitudes. None of them are consistently belonging to it. You might say, God is the creative consciousness that brought forth all things in the universe and maintains all things and is the guiding force, the controlling force, the enforcing force of all that is. And my goodness, that would be quite something to say. Would it be true? Quite likely it would not be true. And the reason it would not be true is that God, the allness, the isness, that which has in it every thought, every concept, every ideal, every expression of anything that could ever exist, is not a guiding force. It cannot be something that is a police department. It is not an enforcement. It is not even cause and effect. The cause and effect are merely what happened when the divine pattern, the archetypal form, the concept on which the body is made, spirit, mind, and body are made, or in which any creation is made, the art and science, the cause and effect, art and science of wholeness too, the cause and effect, that cause and effect, it is the result of those things. It is not those things. And that is a very important thing for us to realize. The cause and effect is the result of actions and things. It is not the thing itself. So, when we say we live in our spirit, mind, and body, our archetypal spirit, mind, and body, there is no way that we could not live in it. There is no way that we could not enjoy every aspect of that spirit, mind, and body. There's no way that we could not truly enjoy it and be it, because it is and is. And it has no emotions to it. It has no variables to it. It is a consistent idea that always remains exactly the same. Now, absolute is in that same realm there. It's in that same family as God. And absolute exists and is, and absolute is another word many times used for God, because it is so all-inclusive and it is so undeniably unchangeable. There is nothing that you can do to the word absolute to improve it or to change it or to understand it better. Absolute is all. Now, what is the absolute as pure magic? Well, when you think of yourself wanting to learn to play the guitar or sing or write, you go to school, you train yourself over a period of time, and then you come up with some sort of skills, and then you apply these skills to your imagination, and you come up with something that is whatever it is you come up with, whether it's writing or singing or music. And what you come up with is just a semblance of your idea. Now, if you were to give that same idea, say for instance you wrote a piece of music, and you were to give that same piece of music to a Mozart or a Beethoven, and tell them, please choreograph this in music, add to it all of the composition points that will make it into a lovely operetta or opera or a classical piece of music. And first thing they do is to look for the melody. First thing they do is to look for the harmonies. They look for what it is that you were trying to compose as you wrote the music. And then as soon as they have that in their mind, which takes no more than a flash of a second, as soon as they have that in their mind, then their genius goes to work. Their absolute quality goes to work. You see, they don't think they want to be a musician, a composer. They know they are a composer. And they can compose anything they want. They can think anything they want. They can bring forth out of the magic of the infinite anything they want, because they are already that absolute cause. They are already that absolute concept. You and I, having studied music, having trained ourselves in music, and now we're ready to compose music, we think, well, what shall we compose? Well, a true artist, or an absolute being, never questions itself what to compose. It merely has within it all of the compositions that ever existed, and it chooses which am I going to put forth at this one moment. And truly, in the mind of an absolute being, all the compositions stand forth finished from A to Z. In each composition, all the music, whether it's orchestration or whether it's just a single, whatever it may be, it is complete. And this gets us closer to the awareness of absolute. It is not the fullness of absolute to itself, because you see, absolute, like oneness, like allness, if you know anything, then you do not know everything. And if you know everything, then you do not know anything. Because if you have all knowledge in you, and you are all knowledge, you cannot say, here is a piece of knowledge. If you are a piece of knowledge, and you say, here's a piece of knowledge, you cannot say, here is all knowledge, until you release the piece. You see, the moment you have one piece of knowledge, the moment you have one item in your mind, you have limited yourself in the allness. And once you have the concept of allness, and would we all love to be aware of that concept in ourselves, but once you have the concept of the allness in yourself, then the absolute shines forth as pure magic. We're not understood by anybody else. We're not appreciated by anybody else. And really, it doesn't matter. But we are the absolute as pure magic. And that is a true joy to experience. Think about these things, because that's what the absolute is, and that's what the University of Philosophy teaches. It teaches the concepts of the absolute, moving us closer and closer into our awareness of absolute as all. So enter into that and join with me in the excitement of it, and just imagine what wonderful things will happen as you and I let go and let the absolute be the pure magic that it is in us now and always. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a joyous thing, and it's a glorious thing. Thank you for joining with me today and being here and thinking about the philosophy, the absolute philosopher, because it is an exciting day and an exciting way in everything that we do. Alrighty. See you again. I love you. I love you. I love you.